Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello there, and welcome to Open Book. My name is Alice Shelton, and I'm joined today, as I always am, by my friend Lori Wilson, my friend, but not the person on this show. Hi, Lori.
Okay, can we get the name straight?
Oh, we should go back to bed and start over, but it's pretty late in the day for that. Sorry, Lori Strawn, I didn't mean to do that. Well, welcome everyone to your weekly spiritual book club. And today we are going to be talking about a topic that I selected. And the topic is, does it matter if you move? And this is really about prayer and movement. I have been in what I would describe as somewhat of a prayer desert, spiritual desert, contemplation desert. I don't know what it's called exactly, but a dry space for any of you who are folks who can identify with that. Lori, you're nodding your head and saying, uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
So in talking with my spiritual director recently, I said that I just felt like my routines are just too routine and my routines are getting in the way of my relationship with God, and that I felt this desire to add some movement. So then we discussed liturgical dance and a whole host of other things. So I thought, well, I'm going to just look up some information on movement and prayer, and we can talk about that today because it's kind of where I am. So Lori agreed, and here we are. So we have kind of a hodgepodge today, but I'm going to start with one and just kind of see where our conversation goes, if that's okay with you, Lori.
That's perfect.
Well, this is a quotation by Stephen Brown from something called Making Jewish Prayer Part of Us. Body language and movement are an integral part of our prayer experience. Through it, we express physically what we are feeling or thinking. Performing many of these acts of body language in community helps us to identify with others and helps us to feel a part of the whole. Now, I'll say by way of just preface here, this is from a source that really describes some very specific Jewish prayer rituals where there are some very ancient prayer movements and actions. So recognizing that not everyone participates in something like that, Lori, I'm really looking just for a general reaction to how you feel generally about just movement in prayer. Is it something that's comfortable for you? You do it, you don't do it, you like it, you don't like it, whatever.
You know, I haven't done a ton of it. I've done a little liturgical dance way back in the day. I can imagine that doing any sort of prayer activity in community would be a beneficial thing to making you feel part of a whole, for one thing. Also, I just feel like there's this element of, to borrow a phrase from the children's reformer, Raffi, shaking the sillies out. Not that prayer is silly, but sometimes you just need to physically move to purge a feeling out of yourself, or at least I do. That's why I talk with my hands all the time.
Yeah,
I think it's something kids really understand, don't you? Far more than adults.
I do. Well, and there's something to be said, and I think a couple of quotations I've picked a little later on suggest this too, but for me there's something about movement helps me get a focus or get in a zone that I don't seem as able to get in when I'm sitting quietly. It's just a different place, maybe. Do you experience that?
Less so. For me, it's more just the words aren't sufficient. The feelings aren't sufficient. I need to do something else, and that something else is movement.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I know I'm finding with coloring as much as I do and doodling and drawing, I've been surprised at how meditative that can be and how prayerful that can be, because it's like there's something occupying my body which then frees my brain, which feels kind of odd, but that's a similar thing with regard to just other movement with prayer. So, well, generally, so you would generally say you're pro this.
I definitely would.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, I'm going to move on to another one, but I want to come back to a little bit to that one later on, too. Now, this one is the quotation is actually attributed to a person named Gabriel Roth, but it's in a book called Movement as Prayer by Paul Corcoran. And what was interesting to me about this one is that I think this one's really focusing on a lot of movement, so a little more than I was even thinking. And it touches into some Native American practices. So here's the quotation. To sweat is to pray, to make an offering of your innermost self. Sweat is holy water, prayer beads, pearls of liquid that release your past. Sweat is an ancient and universal form of self-healing, whether done in the gym, the sauna, or the sweat lodge. I do it on the dance floor. The more you dance, the more you sweat. The more you sweat, the more you pray. The more you pray, the closer you come to ecstasy. This is more thinking about exercise more than just movement to me.
Yeah.
So there's this new thing, I think it's a new thing, within Catholic circles. Have you ever heard of SoulCore, Lori?
No.
SoulCore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, SoulCore is, excuse me, I would say it's more movement than exercise, but it probably more closely approximates this than just quiet, gentle movement. Do you have an experience of being in a sweat lodge or doing any kind of sweating that you would consider to be prayerful or meditative?
See, this, I really just can't connect to this one as much as I could to the other quotations. Just, I hate to sweat. I just hate the sensation of sweating, the dampness, the uncontrolled feeling of it. And, you know, maybe that's just kind of Western and puritanical, but I think a lot of people see sweat as sort of negative. I mean, it's something that you do when you're working really hard, usually not at something that you enjoy. It's smelly. It's kind of distancing from other people. I mean, I don't want someone to hug me when I'm sweaty.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just I've never been athletic, so I've never had that team experience. I resonate more to the idea of making an offering of one's innermost self. And yes, maybe that does cause exertion and physicality, but less with sweat. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't get into the sweat part.
Yeah, it doesn't draw me either. But I will say, I went with a group of students years ago on a spring break service trip down to Cherokee country down in North Carolina. I think North or South Carolina, I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think North. And anyway, we had an opportunity to do a sweat in a sweat lodge. And I just was not feeling well that specific day, so I made the decision not to go, although I really wanted to just to see what it was like. But they really cautioned us about how difficult it was and how hot it was and, you know, that some people really have a strong reaction against it. And I think we had a couple students who really liked it and felt like they had a real deepening of an experience of God. But several of them said it was just very distracting to be so hot, which is sort of what you describe. That's an ancient practice, you know?
It is. It is. I overheat very easily, and I guess I associate it then with discomfort.
Yeah.
And who has prayer that is uncomfortable?
Yeah. I would agree. I mean, stretching to me can be uncomfortable, but not in the same way as sweating.
Right.
Stretching still feels like growing to me, which is what prayer can feel like. So.
Right.
So I just thought I'd tuck that one in because I thought that was interesting, and I wondered if you were having the same reaction that I was. Well, there's this whole movement that I didn't read a lot about, but I actually found a book that I thought might be kind of interesting in this quotation is from it. The book is called Embodied Prayer by Celeste Snober. An embodied prayer is just what I think what you might think. It's really engaging your body in the prayer process so that it's more of a mind-body-spirit process and not just such an intellectual or emotional pursuit. And this really was drawing to me. So here's her quotation. Our bodies have long been in exile. We listen or pray with our hearts and minds, but ignore much of our bodies. We become disembodied. What do you think it means to prayer to become disembodied? Why do you think it's important, if you do, to have the body involved?
Oh, I really, this is so, I feel this so deeply. It's so true. I think there's a, I think of it as old Catholicism in a way, but there's a streak of this, I think, in most people, that feeling that our bodies are at the very least sort of weak, but at the worst kind of sinful and putrid and gross, and, you know, you don't want anything to do with it, and a saintly person really should deny their body altogether. But I, God gave us bodies for a reason. God could have made us non-corporeal beings if God wanted to. So there's a reason for our bodies, and bodies are nurturing and comforting. There's just something innately good about being able to touch and be touched.
Mm-hmm.
And God became flesh in Jesus. So that ought to tell us the bodies are important and that they should be connected to our spiritual lives. I think as you describe, I think that's a movement that's sort of growing more and more. And I'm all for it. I think the more you put into prayer, the more you get out of it.
I do too, and I particularly think about, I don't know why this example or this concept makes me think of older people. I think partly because they are able to more patiently, well, maybe not more patiently, but they're sort of forced to do things more slowly, mm-hmm. which in my mind, when I think about movement and prayer, it's more like a Tai Chi type movement, like an intentional
right.
but slow movement.
Right.
And so thinking about groups of older people doing that kind of movement together, even just in an exercise class, you know, I think even if it's not intended to be a spiritual or prayer exercise, I can just, for me, I would walk into a room where that was happening, where there was an exercise class for older people, and it would feel like it was a prayer experience to me because, you know, they are honoring their bodies by trying to exercise. And I think that's another thing that we miss from Scripture, is that Scripture talks very much about honoring our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think utilizing it in prayer helps along that process. That's part of that honoring process, part of that sacredness.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's missing. It is. It's an ancient practice that's missing now more than it was years and years ago. You know, it's something we've forgotten how to do.
Yeah, I think it is. And we could have a whole other 10 shows on the whole subject of all the writing that's out there about movement and healing and prayer and healing and the interconnectedness of all those things. So my spiritual director said the other day, you know, Alice, I'm still a big believer that the issue is in the tissue. And so the more you can deal with movement in those types of physical issues and movement in spiritual issues, you know, movement's important. So I think
yeah.
that's cool. Well, our good friend St. Ignatius of Loyola, who, as we know, I'm pretty interested in what he's doing in the world, he
mm-hmm.
has this quotation. Remember that bodily exercise, when it is well ordered, as I have said, is also prayer by means of which you can please God our Lord. Now, Ignatius is very much into being well-ordered and kind of not sequential, but well-ordered, controlled
yeah.
a little bit maybe is the right way. Do you feel like you have to be controlled and well-ordered with movement and prayer?
I don't. In fact, I find it more freeing than anything.
Yeah.
Because, yeah,
yeah
it kind of goes where your feelings and your mind is going. And when I
yeah.
think about the way St. Ignatius is talking about it, I don't think so much of like exercise because that seems so rigid to me. I think of it more in terms of labor, like doing chores with a mindfulness of God and making them sort of sacrificial in a way, which is, you know, something Ignatians do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah, this was a little stuffier for me, and I don't.
Yeah,
I don't,
yeah, that's
I don't,
what it is.
And I just that's not at all the way I think about this. I mean, probably a really good picture in my mind that I could describe to you. I wish you had been at the associate retreat. We were the only thing I liked about the David Haas concert. Just sad to say, was that he had us do this, I think it was an African spiritual, and the words were in another language, and they were very simple, repetitive, mantra-like words, and there were very simple, rudimentary hand motions and kind of rocking motions that went with it. And so here we are in the big, beautiful, big church, and we've got, you know, old nuns who are in their 90s. We've got people in their 20s, but, you know, all ages, men, women, all walks of life, hair colors, blah, 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 all together singing these strange words and doing these very simple but very beautiful motions. And that, to me, is a real description of prayer and movement. It
yeah.
was so awesome to just see all the different levels of abilities and coordination moving in the same way. It was very powerful.
You know, I think my quarrel is with the word exercise, and goodness knows St. Ignatius likes his exercises. But
yeah.
I think of exercise as so proscribed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and this is, to me, should be freeing, just like I think
yeah.
prayer should be freeing. Yeah, I agree. Well, just a quick side story, because this another reason that this has spoken to me so much this week, I have a person who works with me who's been considering becoming Catholic for a while, and she went to Mass sort of unexpectedly last week with some other people on our staff. It was an all-school Mass, and mentioned to me afterwards that she had, I think, had for a long time just felt outside the community, even though I think we're very welcoming of Catholics and non-Catholics at Mass and try to describe what you do to come for a blessing and things. But she had never felt comfortable kneeling during the prayers of consecration. And she came in after Mass to tell me that she just felt like she wanted to kneel down during those prayers, and it felt very good and comforting to her. And I just thought, wow, I take those movements in the prayer form for Catholics so for granted, and that was just very powerful. I don't think I'll ever kneel again in Mass without thinking about that.
You know, I kind of went through a similar thing. Owen used to, when he was not Catholic, he would sit during consecration. And now, of course, he's, you know, been drawn into the faith and he kneels. And so I did get that shock of recognition of how important it is, the
yeah.
movements that we take for granted during Mass.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot written about why Catholics move and what the Catholic movements during Mass and what the priest movements are. And that was kind of interesting today because I thought I knew, and I think I do know, but there was a lot out there. And I would encourage people who have interest in that to look, because it's purposeful movement. And I think that's the other thing that distinguishes this from just exercise, is that
right.
there's not
yeah.
you're not just randomly whipping back and forth.
Exactly. There's a real intentionality about it.
Yeah. Well, it seems like there is kind of a movement in the Protestant traditions of working on this concept of prayer and motion, and they're having workshops on it, and it's, you know, a number of churches are advertising that in our area, and I have a quotation from one of the websites just kind of advertising a prayer and motion thing that I thought was interesting. Music and movement prayer actually helps us access a different part of our brain, where we can be more present to the moment and free of distraction, while at the same time enabling a deep encounter with God. Now, I think that speaks a little bit to me, as I shared about my brain just kind of being able to focus or
yes.
opening up. Do you have any experience of this? Are you seeing this in your community?
I'm not, but I wish I were. I really believe this. I think that anything that knocks you out of your usual routine, for one thing, can change the way you encounter God. I've been reading recently about doodling prayer, which you sort of mentioned, and I've always been a doodler, which is, I guess, just what it sounds like. You just scribble and draw your intentions to God for a set period of time. And I imagine that this would work in a sort of similar way, because different things come up when you have to filter them from your mind through your hands, like when you're writing. And I just read today something about how when you write by hand, it fires different circuits in your brain than when you type. It
oh,
makes
yeah.
a difference. So, yeah, I would think whole body movement would be even more cathartic in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think you know that what you described about handwriting, physically writing, is why I was insistent in college, and even now when I take notes by hand and then I type them later, but it's the memorization and the understanding of the concepts comes to me from the writing.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And God knows my staff member is probably laughing at me because my page with our quotations is definitely doodled upon. I mean, I definitely am a prayer doodler, so that's really very cool. Very cool.
Well, they've done studies that say if you take notes by hand, you remember them better.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's really cool. It makes me feel good because I think I consider even the motion of writing is – to me, it's going to at some point be an ancient practice because we're not doing it.
I know.
And I think it's so lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you and I have that in common for sure. Well, I'm going to close us with our last quotation from, which actually is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 2702, since, you know, the Catholic Church's catechism is very orderly,
yes,
as you might know. But it does make for easy access and quick looking up stuff. But I was actually surprised to find something about a little bit about movement and things like that, or prayer that it involves a little more than just our minds, so...
Well, yeah, I was really surprised that you found this in the Catechism.
Yeah, I was too, but anyway, I'll read it because I think it's important. The need to involve the senses in interior prayer corresponds to a requirement of our human nature. We are body and spirit, and we experience the need to translate our feelings externally. We must pray with our whole being to give all power possible to our supplication. Well, that's a directive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
the word
really
requirement,
is.
Yeah, and must pray, which, you know, I think most Catholics would suggest, if you take that seriously, that, you know, at least that's happening in the Mass, as we just discussed, that some of the bowing and standing and kneeling and sitting and all that sort of thing, sign of peace, whatever. But I think you could really go out far, 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 far down the pier with this.
In what way?
Well, I mean, I think there could just be a whole lot of movements that could be defined and utilized. I mean, when I think about the sacraments, we for so long received Holy Eucharist only in one way, you know, and
right.
Now we have two, not two ways, but, and I, by ways, I mean on the tongue versus in the hands. Well, now we have people coming up and taking it both on their tongue or by hand. Some are coming up to receive a blessing, or in some churches, we don't even call it a blessing. I don't remember what we call it, but, you know, just those movements are important. Just trying to think of other ideas I had in this, but, well, just even the appreciation of the church space and different movements that could happen. Like, we don't pay attention to blessing ourselves with holy water and the movement that's a prayer motion. I mean, just walk into your church some Sunday and think about the movements that you do habitually that probably have meaning that I would never have connected with this part of the catechism before, that I kind of am now.
Yeah, yeah. I think the beauty of this quotation is, to me, it's everything that we've been talking about, synthesizing the prayer experience with body and mind and spirit, sort of making it a holistic process. And I mean, that's way in these days, everything being more complete and entire. And how could prayer not benefit from that?
Yeah, I agree. Well, it gives me, I mean, our music director in our parish who directs our choir has said for years, you know, this is not a performance. This is an enhancement of the prayer experience. It's a way of engaging the senses. So that makes this catechism piece makes me think about, okay, when I'm in a service, how are all my senses being impacted? Touch, taste, sight, smell,
mm-hmm.
sound.
Right.
And wow, they really, really are. And so when you hear people talk about, oh, I didn't get anything out of Mass, boy, you really have to be not present on a lot of levels to feel that way. So I'll kind of reprimand myself when I have those feelings sometimes that, you know, yeah, so you, right now we've got a Polish priest who is almost impossible to understand. And my heart sinks when he starts up the aisle. Well, you
know
what? Then focus on some other stuff, Alice, because if it's difficult to hear, you can still experience it in other ways.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, do you have any other comments or thoughts on just the concept of prayer and movement that you want to add before we close this week?
I just wish that there was more of a movement to get this out there, you know, classes or gatherings around, you know, in the parish or whatever. I have not seen that happen out here yet, and I'd like to. Because I just know so very little about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe this will be a nice springboard for you. As I suggested, I think I'm going to get the book by the woman, by Celeste Snober, which is called Embodied Prayer. I thought that just might be a start. It looked like an interesting piece. So, you know, maybe I'll share a little bit more about that if I get it and read it. So,
yeah.
Well, Lori, as always, it's just a grace talking to you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to kind of go outside our box and not have to be always doing something rigid and book-oriented, that you're willing to just kind of do different things with me. So that's all we have for this week, and we hope you join us again. Until then, if you're looking for God, just open a good book. Have a great week.